Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana, it's time to fill up here.
Let's do this.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Hopefully you're drinking something good for you.
Boring water. How about yourself?
Same thing, boring water this morning. I didn't take the time to make a coffee or any tea or anything yet. So just water for today.
Okay. Now. Yeah. Yeah, you know, the air's been kind of dry and cold, so.
Yes, very yes. Much. Yeah, I mean, it's, I can't wait for us to get out of the coldness so that we're back to the warmth. I think at that point it feels at least a little bit of humidity in the air out here in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope that comes around. I think we're going to have a good weekend, though.
Yeah, my.
Supposed to get warm.
I heard 80s, I think.
Yeah, I think 80s, so. If it's supposed to be 82 in LA, I assume out in your part of the valley, it'll probably be even warmer. So you'll be lucky.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
At least by 10 degrees.
I hope so. So do you have any plans for the coming weekend?
Nah. No. No plans.
Did you do anything fun last weekend?
No.
No? Wow. Poor Dana. I was going to say, let's discuss our weekends, but apparently there's nothing going on.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Nothing? Wow.
Yes, but the rent.
Wow. Was it that time again? Yeah, I guess it was.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
Well, let's talk about this week then. You know, today is day number 2 of the CISFA Executive Board meeting. Day 1 was what we call the FAR meeting, which is the Financial Aid Regional Reps as a consultative group to the State Chancellor's Office. The first day is all ran by the Chancellor's Office staff, so it's all the updates on what's going on at the state level. We did talk a little bit about like state budget and current circumstances, reporting, new legislation, all that good stuff. And then today is the regular CISFA exec board meeting. So we'll be starting that right after the show tapes here to this morning. And we'll be going over all the things for our conference. So there'll be a lot of updates about conference today. Not in the show, but that'll be done at the meeting. We'll talk about it on Friday. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome.
Because we'll have registration opening up very soon for everybody. We hope to have lots of people come out to our spring conference, which is at your house, done virtually. Yeah. I mean, unless you want to go over to Dana's house, then you can do it virtually with her, but then you're going to have to go to her sessions, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
On your gigantic computer screen there. Makes only.
Now, are you getting excited now that everything
Yeah, I mean, things are falling together. The good thing is of everyone, what we're doing is anyone who is set to present this year, last spring, we've asked them if they'd like to present their topic this coming spring, you know, and most of them have said yes. Most of them have been available. A couple just weren't not available to be able to do it this year, but we have most of them already booked. The only thing I'm trying to do is fill in a few more sessions, mostly on this pandemic kind of thing. You know, I think we want to, I'm sure people would be interested to hear from colleagues about, you know, what have we done as far as making adjustments, you know, to our operations, how we communicate with students, what kind of improvements have we seen, what kind of things do we think we'll continue to do beyond the end of this pandemic. Mm. You know, I'm sure there's things that you probably have seen in our operations. Maybe we'll stick with a virtual counter as such. I mean, do you have some thoughts on this maybe, Dana, on some things that we've learned and may carry forward?
No, I do. I actually do like our virtual counter, and I love using Zoom when we're conducting like our workshops.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like these online tools that we're able to use, Cranium and Zoom. And, you know, I can definitely see us continuing to use these platforms even when we get back to the office.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be some of the discussion I want to have. And I also want to know of, mm-hmm. I'm sure we've got colleagues out there who've done some very interesting things, you know, either making videos or other things. Mm-hmm. To help guide their students through the financial aid process remotely. So mm-hmm. that's a little bit of some of the stuff I want to slip in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking it would be interesting if, you know, cause we're still going to be work at home during the spring semester as well. You know, mm-hmm. what other platforms, like you're saying, like what other campuses are doing, you know, to utilize maybe like social media, mm-hmm. You know, online, you know, the web. So,
okay.
Like, to see how further we could take it.
Yeah, you know how we've you know gone about, you know things that we've now in a sense improved, mm-hmm. right by doing it this way. So, mm-hmm. yeah, those are the last things I need to create some sessions for. But people out there expect to see an email, probably within the next 7 days, inviting you to register for our conference, and the fee we're hoping will be. Lower than ever before, so it'll be very affordable. Even affordable enough, I might be able to afford to send you, Dana, to the conference.
You know, that would be awesome. But you know, I don't want to get in trouble. I'll be that one disruptive person with crazy noise going on.
No. I'm just telling you right now. You might want to prepare, because I'm thinking one of the things is if I have to fill in a session, I say we either give them a taped version of it or a live version. Of an extended version of the What's Brewing CISFA podcast.
Hey,
with video. With video for the, you know.
Or I don't know if this is possible. And I know we got to get on with the news. Yes. But what if, you know, instead of having a session, you just have a What's Brewing CISFA show? Like,
we could do that. I think there's a way to live stream and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Live stream it. And then just have people drop in and say, hey, you know.
Wow. Now you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, we might be able to do that. So
I think that would be fun.
I will work out the technicalities of all that, because we're working on the technical details too of the setup for the conference. But okay, let's get into the news a little bit. I know we've got some news articles here. So the first one is an article on the NASFA website that noted that two higher education groups have created a simulation of the distribution of the new HERF funds. That's the Higher Education Emergency Relief Funding that went out to colleges before, you know, as part of the CARES Act. So the American Council on Education, or ACE, as they're sometimes known, and the Association for Public and Land Grant Universities used information in the Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act. That was the big act that passed all this money through. And it rolled, you know, into the fiscal year Omnibus Spending Act. So as part of that, there's $20.2 billion set aside for higher education. So, Dana, I looked at the simulations on the website for our college, and guess how much I estimate we will get this time?
Okay, $10 million.
$10 million? Oh, you know, it's funny because you say that. That's probably going to be the total we'll have in all, because we got about $3 million. In the first round of CARES Act at LA Mission College, this time $7.5 million.
Hey, okay. So,
okay. Nearly a doubling. Now, I don't think as much of it has to be spent on students by law, but, mm-hmm. you know, again, we'll have money available for students. And I think this is more aimed at helping colleges kind of shore up their finances, you know, because, you know, obviously we've paid for extra computer equipment. Mm-hmm. Training, staffing, overtime, cleaning up campus, you know, with all the, we probably bought 8,000 gallons of Clorox or something.
yeah.
You know, I think a lot of it's supposed to help campuses kind of readjust to getting there. So, yeah, this is over twice the amount we received the first time. So I'm going to estimate that most of the community colleges out here in California, under our CISFA jurisdiction, are also going to see some pretty big increases. But we'll see what goes on from there. You know, there are a lot of caveats to the estimates they say here. You know, first and foremost, they are estimates. The final actual allocations will be released by the U.S. Department of Education at some point in the very near future. Second, the information used to create the estimates is based upon what's available in the PASS Act and how they tell you that it's calculated. So there may be some missing pieces along the way here, but we're probably going to get pretty close to that amount, I hope.
Yeah, that's a good chunk, man.
Exactly. So lastly, and this is the good news, the amounts in the simulation do not include other pots of funding that are still available and aimed at higher education, including there's $1.7 billion for minority-serving institutions, or MSIs, as they're known, and we're part of that. We got some money the first time. We'll probably get some money the second time. And there's about $100 million for institutions with the greatest unmet need related to the pandemic, and over $600 million for proprietary institutions. So we can expect quite a bit more information to come out from the Department of Ed and Federal Student Aid in the near future because, just as before, with the first time we got the CARES stuff, they have to, you know, set all the regulations. Who's eligible if you're giving student grants? How you can spend the money, how you cannot spend the money. But we'll have, to make it easy for everyone, I'll put a link to the NASFA article and directly to the ACE website where you can get the simulated distribution numbers.
And in case you missed it, the California Student Aid Commission released a social media toolkit for financial aid people to spread the word about the upcoming statewide Cash for College webinars. The webinars replace the in-person workshops that were held in the late fall and early winter in past and application cycles. The webinars are free and open to all students and families applying for financial aid. The social media toolkit, meant for us to use at the colleges to get the word out to our students and prospective students. The toolkit includes sample posts to put on financial aid offices, websites, and social media, sample emails to send out to students and families, a posting calendar, graphics you can use on your website or posts, and more. If you didn't get the information, contact the commission staff at cashforcollege@csac.ca.gov. And I believe the link will be in our
yes,
show notes.
Yes. Unfortunately, I couldn't link directly to the document because it wasn't in like one of their normal special alerts or operations memos. But it's a real nice layout there. They give you little graphics you can like snip into your social media feeds.
Right,
It gives you like a calendar, like here's what you can do this week and next week and next week and next week to roll on through as the state is putting out these new Cash for College workshops online this year.
Yeah, that is super cool and very innovative, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they had to come over the hurdle. Remember, you know, many years ago, and we've been doing it for many years, we've had Cash for College workshops on our campus. Yep. Used to be gigantic events, got smaller over the years as students started doing them, doing their FAFSAs earlier, getting ahead of the game. But yeah, these webinars, I guess they've been going pretty well so far. And they're just hoping to expand on it and hope to get colleges involved in getting their students and their, you know, prospective students in line to make sure that if they haven't done the FAFSA, because FAFSA and DREAMAC numbers are down.
Right.
We got to get them in line, get them going. Doing it.
Just out of curiosity, Dennis, have you heard if there is any incentive for our students who attend Cash for College events?
You know, that I don't know. In the past, there has been those scholarship offerings. And I don't know if I saw anything about that. If not, I'll ask about it today at our CSFA exec board meeting because we will have people from the commission there. And they'll probably talk a little bit about this Cash for College push because this was relatively new. Good questions. Let's do one more news article. It's a short one here I've got, and then we'll cut away for a break. So Federal Student Aid, or FSA, they put out an electronic announcement offering online training for 2021-2022 verification. The training consists of two lessons. The first one is about verification and professional judgment. And there's also, it's verification and professional judgment. And then separately from that, to see how smart you are and if you learned anything, there will be a learning assessment at the end to test your knowledge on the subject. We'll include Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you've actually picked up what they were saying.
Yes,
yes. So we'll include a link to the electronic announcement in our show notes for everybody so that you can get to that. It's probably very good training, of course. It comes from Department of Ed directly. And even better than that, it's free. So, Dana, feel free to go, you know.
Thank you
so
much. Don't
let me hold you up ever. Let's take a little musical break, and we'll be right back with our second segment.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
The pour was getting drowned out by the music. I haven't quite figured out how to do that part yet.
I'll figure it out.
It's just one of those things here. So let's see. Where did we leave off in the news? Or we were talking FSA. So I guess I'll give you the next item here, Dana.
Okay. So you know what, Dennis? You don't send me to enough symposiums.
That's because I don't know what the word symposium means.
Yes, you do.
Okay. You got it.
Oh, man. So guess what? NASFA has a great one coming up soon. The 2021 Leadership Symposium, a slimmed down version of their annual leadership conference, will consist of a series of webinars presented over 5 weeks and available on demand thereafter. Space is limited and registration just open. So if you want me to attend, I need to reserve my spot as soon as possible.
Okay, sir. We'll talk off the show on that.
All right. Cool. So there are two options for the webinars. There's the association leadership option, created for those who are current or aspiring leaders in financial aid associations like CISFA or CASPA, or a second option in leadership strategies and realities. This path is designed for the experienced aid administrator focusing on institutional compliance, student success, and enrollment management. For more information, check out the link in our show notes to the NASFA Symposium webpage.
So, Dana, if I sent you to more symposiums like this one, which path would you take? Would I have to send you to the one that's about and aimed at the association leadership, because someday you'll be going off to be a leader of CISFA?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Because the other one, you know, that you know, the institutional compliance, student success, enrollment management. Although that'd be good too, because again, when I just run away from my job one day, you may want to take over. Those are all the types of things that a financial aid director need to know.
Dennis, you're not going anywhere. You're going to retire, but I'm going to still find you.
This is why it's a good thing that although we are near the Angeles Forest, because there's so many bears and other animals out there, I'm not going to run away into the woods.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
I'm going to go find another state that has a forest with less wildlife.
You're going to
and I'm just going to run in.
You're going to hide in the wilds of Hollywood.
I'm going to do.
Yes, there you go.
Bobcat, what, P22 or whatever? The one that, you know, that's tagged that everyone sees everywhere.
Yes.
I get that on my next door app all the time. Hey, there's Bobcat's walking around the Hollywood Dell area, everyone. Yeah, look out. Okay, yeah, well, we'll think about that. I think you should go to that symposium. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think I should too. And you know what? I might, shake things up.
You probably will. You know, if anything, you can tell them at that symposium for people, you know, current and aspiring leaders and financial aid associations, when they talk about how do you get information out to your constituency group, like our CISFA people, you go, well, you know, we've only done like 50-some episodes of a podcast, you know, easily the second top-rated podcast in the financial aid world.
Absolutely.
At the time. But, you know, other than that, I don't know. What would you do? All right, Dana. Let's see. I've got another item here. Let's see. You know, although I no longer have a paid subscription, I did find an interesting article out on the Chronicle of Higher Education's website, and it discussed how during this pandemic, displaced workers have not returned to college, let alone community colleges like ours, for the fresh start or restart that many of them would during these downturns. So early in the article, As if anyone couldn't have guessed this, among the reasons discussed that people aren't enrolling, and in particular community colleges, is that they are too busy navigating the economic uncertainty of life. I think they, you know, we can attest to this as when we speak to students or when we read their income appeals and their SAP appeals, their current level of economic uncertainty is unlike those we've seen before, you know, with our modern day recessions of the 2008-2009 version or other downturns that we've seen locally or nationally. The article isn't very long, but it has some nice charts and graphs. That's always nice to have. So we'll include a link in the show notes for everyone. And I think it may be a free article that you can get to. So hopefully you don't, if you don't have a paid subscription, you can still read it. It is very interesting topic to talk about.
Oh yeah, Dennis. And going along with that, you know, and I know things are tough all over. Mm-hmm. But have you seen the recent information released by the governor regarding his 2021-2022 budget proposal?
Not yet.
Budget, oh, you haven't checked
it out. I haven't got into it yet. No.
All right. Check this out. So the budget proposes spending. Ready for it? Are you sitting down?
You're going to have to give me the big number.
Here it goes. It's $227.2 billion in total state funds. It consists of about $164 billion from the general fund, about $58 billion from special funds, and about $4 billion from bond funds. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
Yes, it
is. A lot of money, sir. So from what I read and had to dig into the summary information online, there is supposed to be $150 million of one-time money for emergency financial assistance for full-time, low-income community college students who demonstrate emergency need. There were some other details, but seeing as how this is only a budget proposal at this time, why get deep into the details? There were a few other items that will help our students, though, including $100 million to address food and housing insecurity and $30 million to support technological access by providing electronic devices and high-speed internet connectivity for community college students. As you know, the January budget proposal from Governor Newsom is the first step in the process, with a revision that comes out in May, appropriately referred to as the May revise, and a final budget getting approved in late June or early July.
Exactly. So we've got, there's time before this gets approved, but at least it's always like the first salvo in the whole war of going back and forth on numbers on the budget. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what comes all out of this.
It will definitely budget. Will be. Yeah.
So, you know, it's always, I'll wait to see how much the state decides to cut from our BFAP funding. That's usually the first thing on my mind because I have yet to see that fund goes up. But the good thing is, you know, at least, you know, cost of working is, you know, cost of doing business is going down, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they think. You know, they think I'm using the money more efficiently. No one gets a raise. No one gets their step. Health insurance is just getting more affordable every day.
Man.
Oh, wait, none of those are true. So none maybe we all. Need to look at that. And this is a topic of contention every time in a CISPA meeting.
We need to bring it back to reality.
Well, that's really what it is because, you know, I mean, you know, before I get into my next article here, when, you know, talking state budget, it's always one of these things that the way BFAP funding in particular, that's one of the funds that funds directly the financial aid office operations at the community colleges, was set up. This was set up, you know, 17 years ago or so when it was created. Because it was created around the time that, Dana, I can't remember when you went to community college, but did you go in the days when it was free or just nearly free?
Nearly free. It was $12 a unit. So that was back in 1999.
Okay. So started. About 20 plus years ago or more when it was free, and then they moved to not so free, you know, it was like $7 a unit or $11 a unit. They wanted to make sure that there was money for financial aid operations. This is part of it. I don't know the full history because I wasn't in California yet. But the idea was to give financial aid offices funds to do outreach and recruitment of students into the financial aid process. Because they wanted to make sure that students that even at $7 or $11 per unit could still afford to go to school.
Absolutely.
I mean, they created a fee waiver at that point too, but they wanted to make sure they had the financial resources. Now, the amount of money that they put aside that year is literally about the same amount of money they put aside this year, 20 years later. And what have we done in 20 years? We've added community colleges. We've hired staff. And those staff get raises. They stay on. We keep our experienced staff as long as we can. Healthcare costs have gone up. So most of us were maybe the first time we got that money, it was like 60% the salaries and staff and 40% the outreach activities and training and development. Many of us now are like 100% staff, and we've pushed out all the other things the state really wanted us to do. And you can only imagine that most colleges have not backfilled with extra money. So that's my soap opera soapbox. Yeah. What would a soap opera box look like? My soapbox for the day before I take us into our last article that I'll breeze through here. So, anyways, not that either of us may be daily listeners, although I do tune in once in a while to hear some news from KPCC out there at Pasadena City College, one of the NPR public radio stations. I was interviewed by one of their reporters recently for an article that was posted to LAIST, that's LAIST.com, the LAIST website regarding financial aid. It was titled, Students Affected by the Pandemic May Face Extra Hurdles for Financial Aid. Here's what they should know. So the article discusses the financial aid process and how the FAFSA and the CADA, those are the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, and the California DREAM Act application, the two main forms to apply for aid, use information about income from the, as the article quotes, prior year on the form. So, for example, on the FAFSA we're using for the current school year, when you fill out that FAFSA, as you know, Dana, you use income from 2018. Mm-hmm. And already that's 2+ years old, right?
Right.
So this leads into the meat of the article about how college financial aid offices like our own can review the current circumstances of students and their families to see if there's been dramatic changes in family income or economic status overall that could change financial aid eligibility. You know, this process goes by a number of names. In financial aid land, though, we call it, of course, PJ, or professional judgment. Mm-hmm. Students know it as income adjustments or income reviews. Sometimes, in some rare cases, it might be students who are asking for reviews based upon their dependency status. Because, you know, most students under 24 coming out of high school and all, they need parent information on the FAFSA, but there's always some students who fall through the cracks, can't get it, and thus college, through a review process, could make them an independent student. So now for this article, though, I wasn't quoted directly, but I spoke at length with the reporter to discuss the realities of how many colleges have seen increases in the number of PJ requests and how many of us work through the process on these requests, the types of information we ask for and stuff like that. So it's certainly a worthwhile article to read out at LAIST, and I will include a link in our show notes for everybody so they can read that article. It's nice. It's got a lot of other people quoted in there. I guess helped with the background material. Let's say that. So let's take another little musical break here, Dana, and we'll come back for the last part of the show. And just like that, Dana, we are back for, of course, our last sip segment. So get that last sip of your water in. And let's just go through real quickly. You have any, I dare you to, selections for our people out there?
Still not yet. How about yourself?
Well, I can say I finished one book recently. It's a book by Megan Daum, D-A-U-M. The book is called The Problem with Everything: My Journey Through the New Culture Wars. And I bought the book because as an author, she wrote a book probably 10 years or so ago, and then she was on a podcast She wrote a book about, if I only owned this house, I would have a perfect life, or something like that. Okay. And it was about her coming to California after having lived in New York, you know, because some people only live in two cities, apparently. she wrote a book about how she wanted to buy a house in L.A. And it kind of goes through her travails of looking at houses, trying to afford one. I think she had just been gotten married or something, or was getting married, and then had bought a house or whatever. Probably like in the area that was the up-and-coming area of L.A., like Echo Park, Silver Lake, you know, that area, okay. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
This book is a wholly different thing. Now, she has since apparently got divorced, moved to New York, moved back to New York, is writing, and is a teacher, adjunct faculty, as we call it, in the MFA writing program at Columbia University.
Nice.
So, you know, but she wrote this book, and it was very interesting because I caught her on C-SPAN 2 over the weekend, maybe about a year or so ago, talking about the book. She's a woman, you know, who will call herself definitely a liberal, progressive, and all that. Mm-hmm. But what she in this book does is she takes to task a number of the things coming out of her side of the argument. You know, as far as, you know, when you hear the words like, and it's all over the here on the front of the thing, gaslighting, identity politics, violent speech, cancel culture, call out culture, moral panic, the Me Too movement, snowflake, all these, you know, all the terms that you hear about in the arguments out there.
Yeah.
And she takes a number of them to task with her own people. So she might be now called, what's the proper term? Heretic by some, you know, but it's an interesting book. It wasn't a very long read. And I'll say, because I do most of my reading at night, it only took me amazingly two nights to read it.
Okay.
One night of insomnia really helped. So, the name of the book, The Problem with Everything, My Journey Through the New Culture Wars by Megan Daum. I'll put it out there with a link. Definitely worthwhile reading. It's a very interesting take on things, regardless of what side of the aisle, as we say, you are on, or what your support level is for any particular issue. You know, she doesn't dig into like the pro or anti anything specific, but talks about the argument at hand and how we've really gone to where we are in this country of not listening to others and always thinking our idea must be the one that's perfectly right all the time.
Okay, so she's like neutral and trying to...
Well, neutral, or she'll call out people for why are we making this our approach in the argument, you know?
Okay.
You know, why don't we listen first before we try to find ways to shout people down and stuff like that. Okay. Yeah, it's a real, real good book in my mind here, so definitely worth reading, everybody. But, you know, we're at that point of the show now, Dana. We've ran out of time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, don't worry. There'll be more shows.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for joining, Dana, the show today. And thank you, our audience out there, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone. Check out the CSFA website at CSFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcsfa@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CSFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcasts.google.com. Or for those using Apple devices, open your podcast app. To find us, just search for CSFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcsfa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean put together. And you can find us on Spotify and Pandora and iHeartRadio. And listen to us through the iTunes or the TuneIn app on Amazon Echo by using your Alexa.
What's Brewing CSFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 54, recorded the morning of Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. Everybody have a great day.
And have a great week.